did cover a couple of points, so I'll just, by way of review, quickly go back over those just so you remember what God's going to do to Satan, amen? I think that's a good message today. But we'll read verses 1 to 10 as our text this morning. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, and having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And all the people of God said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this prophecy that gives us clear direction in our lives. And thank you, Father, we can know where we're going to end up with you in eternity, and the blessings that we will also partake of in the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Thank you so much, Father, for the privilege it is to know you, to know Jesus Christ, and certainly as we sang today, what a lovely name, Father. Amen. We thank you so much for our Savior. And we know that he's the reason why we're here today. And Father, we thank you that he gives us purpose in life and light and direction. And also, Father, gives us a mission by which we can glorify you through the church. So, Father, we ask you now to be with us in this morning service and speak to hearts. We know it's only by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening of the Spirit, that we can understand, that we can be made right with you through the Word of God, that we can truly make decisions that glorify you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are looking at the millennium, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. That is a Latin term. Milli mean 1,000, annum years, 1,000 years. And aren't you thankful that there's a calm after the storm? Amen. We see chapters 4 to 19, and we see the great tribulation. But here in chapter 20, we have a great sigh of relief because Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Amen. And not only that, there's going to be a resurrection, and there's going to be reward given at that time that we see here entering into the millennium. And so We saw, I believe I have somewhat of an outline here. Not this outline, but we did see a little bit about chapters 4 to 19. This is not a study on the book of Revelation, by the way. We were just hitting highlights of prophecy, but it ends here because so much happens right here. Amen. And so we did see chapters 4 to 19 cover the tribulation period. We didn't look into that. But now we're looking in chapter 20. We have the millennium and the great white throne judgment, which if you continued reading in chapter 20, and I do encourage you to read ahead, verses 11 to 15 clearly show us what's coming in judgment, that final judgment. And we'll be looking in detail at that, Lord willing, next week. Amen. And then after that, you have 20 chapters, 21 and 22, the eternal state, the new heaven and new earth. And that's wonderful things to be studying about as well. But the blessing of this chapter, we looked at chapter, the verses where we have the removal of Satan. And we studied a little bit about the names of Satan there. We also have seen how long is he removed? Where is he placed? We saw the 1,000 years, the bottomless pits. And why is he bound? We see we've already answered some of these questions. Now we have the reign of the Savior. We also looked at that beginning in verses 4 and 5. And we're kind of going to be breaking down some of this today because we have to answer these questions about the period of the reign, the people of the reign, but we're going to deal a little bit about with the resurrection. I told you last Sunday we preached on the resurrection of Christ, and I was tempted to come right back here to our study because there's a lot about resurrection here, but I didn't do that. I wanted to actually spend detailed time last week exalting the Savior and his resurrection exclusively, although aren't you thankful the application is because he lives, we will live also. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to enter into this part of our study, the resurrection of the saints. And as we note in the Bible, there's going to be two resurrections, but they are, as we'll see, the first resurrection is in stages, and I'll explain that in a moment. So we have two resurrections. What are we looking at here? Verses 5 and 6. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That is the 1,000 years after Christ's reign. And that's when we go enter into the latter part of the chapter where you see the great, small and great stand before God in verse 12. That's all those who were not saved will be resurrected at that time. But before the 1,000 years is the first resurrection. Not after, first. And so go back to a few chapters. Go all the way back to Daniel chapter 12. We do find this spoken of by Daniel. And then we find it again by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we did touch on that verse last week in John 5, but we'll look at that again. Just getting, not breaking down any of this chapter, but verse 2, it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, that's one resurrection, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's another resurrection. Go to John chapter 5 now, where Jesus states it this way, John 5 and verse 28 and 29. I'm thankful for the Word of God, amen? Amen. It's very consistent. You compare Scripture with Scripture, you can find true answers. So we see here, Jesus, well, he's talking about judgment, and I've been studying, reading through the John's Gospel in my daily reading of the scripture, and it's an amazing book about the deity of Christ, and it comes up over and over again. Here he's talking about the Father has given unto the Son authority for judgment. Amen. He's going to be the one. This kind of fits in with next week, Revelation 20. The Son is the one who's going to judge. He's going to be the one sitting on the throne. But it says in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good, that's salvation, not by good works, but because you're saved, amen, you do have fruit of doing good, unto resurrection of life. That's one resurrection. They that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. And I always tell everyone, between that semicolon, there's 1,000 years. Amen. And that's what we're seeing right here in Revelation 20. The first resurrection is for believers only. The first resurrection are for those who are going to live forever. And the rest of the dead, go back to Revelation 20, it says the rest of the dead, amen, you have that very clear, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So you have a separation here of 1,000 years. And God tells us here in this chapter, well, we'll get back to this chapter, but I want to answer some questions looking at the resurrection of the righteous. The resurrection of the righteous and the stages of the first resurrection. Just so everyone, I want you to go back to your scriptures and follow along here. Christ's resurrection is part of the first resurrection. And because of Jesus Christ, we all will be resurrected. But he's called the first fruits. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I'm going to raise something here because the Bible says very clearly Christ rose from the dead. Amen. The first day of the week. That's clear. But do you realize that when he rose from the dead, some other saints rose from the dead at that time? It's just like Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. So you have first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15 and 23. But every man in his own order. And that's what I like about this verse. It talks about order. God has an order. Christ the first fruits. Amen. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. So we do have Christ coming. We have those that are going to be raised. We do know there's a rapture and there's a revelation. Christ coming in the air. We saw that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The saints will be resurrected then. But now we're talking about tribulation saints will be resurrected as well, before Christ establishes his 1,000-year reign. So you have, go back to Matthew 27. I wanted you to see at what happened there in the gospel. And this is what we call a token resurrection. Amen. I mean, think about the power of God. It says in Matthew 27 and verses 52 and 53, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That, again, is the miracle of Christ. He resurrected dead bodies during his ministry. This is another miracle of Jesus Christ. And those people had to say, that is the Son of God. I mean, look, these people rose from the dead. What a testimony. So you have these Christ the first fruits, and then you have the resurrection at the rapture, which we already looked at. Let's not go there for sake of time. And then go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter, 11, verse 3, sorry. Chapter 11, verse 3. You have another resurrection here. You have the resurrection of the two witnesses. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And then jump down to verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. So do you see God resurrects these two witnesses as another testimony to his great power and sovereignty? Now we go to Revelation 20, which is where we're at now. You have the resurrection of the tribulation saints. The resurrection of the tribulation saints. Verse 4. And I saw all thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again. This first resurrection is referring back to this resurrection of these tribulation saints. Now, we ask the question, the Old Testament saints. And I think I did mention it before, but I want to go back over it. I believe that they will be resurrected at this time as well. And I'll give you some reasons. We do know that the Old Testament teaches about the resurrection. Isaiah 26:19. Just to lay a little bit of groundwork here from some of the scriptures we see in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to be able to pinpoint this time now from the Old Testament, but I will show you what the Gospels say about this. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. In Africa we say herbs, but I'll spare you, of herbs. And the earth shall be cast out, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Then, well, Ezekiel 37 is the valley of dry bones. I will not go there. That's a wonderful picture there. You can go read and study about that. We did look at Daniel 12. Now let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And I think we went over this before, but let's make sure we clearly understand what's going on during the reign of Christ. Who's going to be there? Matthew 8 and verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we have here a promise of the patriarchs being in the kingdom. Being in the kingdom. Matthew 19. In verse 28. Matthew 19. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging who? The 12 tribes of Israel. And that's in the millennial kingdom. And so we do have Daniel 12. We see that the patriarchs are there. The Israelites are there. The 12 tribes. You have all this happening in the first resurrection. Entering into the kingdom of God. The reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Go back to Revelation 20 now. And we find the blessings of the resurrected saints. And I hope you're a part of this resurrection. You need to make sure. Amen. Because it says, verse 6, the blessing. He says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Blessed means joy, satisfaction, being complete and fulfilled, secure and peaceful within your own being. Why? Because of what God has done for you, the blessings. So you're blessed, amen? But you're holy. Why? Because we're going to be perfected, aren't you? This is going to be a wonderful thing to experience, that there'll be no more sin. There'll be, we'll be leaving our flesh, our old nature behind, and we'll be like Christ. What a blessing. Holy, completely separated from sin, completely set apart unto God. Completely bearing the same nature of Jesus Christ, a holy nature that is perfectly pure. But then it says another blessing, on such the second death hath no power. And we do know what the second death is right by the same chapter. Verse 14, what is the second death? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, when you think of death, number one, you think of separation. No one likes funerals, but you think of separation. You go and you see the body, but that person is not there. They're either in heaven or hell right at that moment. There's no such thing as purgatory unless you add books to the Bible. Purgatory comes out of the apocryphal books, but it's not canon of Scripture. It was never accepted as the authoritative, inspired word of God. So you have separation. But the Bible says, not only is there that death, when you think of separation, the Bible speaks of physical death. That's that death. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's physical death. You will experience death because of sin. Unless Jesus comes back, amen, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment, the Bible says, you'll be transformed. You'll be taken up, caught up, and transformed. But everyone else had to die. Why don't we have to? I don't mind, you know, facing death, because we're victorious over death, amen? Amen. And so you have the physical death, but you also have spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1 says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Because of being sinners and having our sinful nature, we are separated from God because of our sin. That's spiritual death. You continue in that, you will die physically. That's physical death. But here we have the second death, or eternal death. Those who lived a life, rejected Christ, died in their sin, go to hell, death and hell are delivered up, and because they rejected Christ, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is forever and ever and ever. And remember, we'll see who's going to be in the lake of fire, right there, Satan. And that's forever. That's the second death. That's eternal death. That's forever and ever. You got guys like I just read the other day, and I know it's tempting to be going outside the church and feeding on other preachers and prophets or whatever they call themselves. I think it's dangerous. You got guys like Andy Stanley, you know, Charles Stanley's son. They have completely, in fact, they don't even believe the Bible anymore. That's how far they've gone. And they don't believe in hell. Folks, they are explaining away every doctrine of the Word of God. It's crazy out there. This is what the Bible says. This is the truth. Be careful. There's every wind of doctrine out there. And so, aren't you thankful in Jesus Christ if you are made holy by the blood of Christ and you are sanctified by the Holy Spirit and you are saved and separated, secured, amen? God, you will not taste of that second death. That's what it says. There's no power over you, amen? But not only that, think of this other blessing. We're going to be priests of God. That's just one thing. You know, when you hear this, you're like, how's this all going to function? Well, God knows, amen? And it says we're going to be priests of God and of Christ. And in fact, chapter 1 talks about being kings and priests, ruling and reigning with Him, amen? That's an amazing blessing. But priestly service is a holy service. And priestly service is acceptable worship. And isn't that when we're in His presence and we're delivered from our sin, how much more can we truly worship Him? Amen? But they're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. This is the part that I'm trying to think. We're going to govern with Christ 1,000 years. Will be part of the government of this earth under Christ. Isn't that amazing? So when I think of other important characteristics of the millennium that we do not mention here, let me just give you a few just quickly without even... Oh, I guess I didn't give you any. So I'll mention them here. And this is something that would take a lot more study. During the millennium, the inhabitants of the earth will include not only glorified saints, but also citizens of nations who bow in submission to Jesus Christ. This is what Matthew 25 clearly mentions, that some nations will be departed, some nations will go into the kingdom. Because of the earth's perfect conditions, people will live very long lives. Isaiah 65 speaks of that, verses 17 to 25. They will marry and have children who will outwardly conform to our Lord's righteous rule, but not all of them will truly be born again as the millennium progresses. this is why we're going to read here. How can Satan gather an army after Jesus Christ is on the earth for 1,000 years? You would think everyone should be saved by then. Not so. So these nations go in. They have children. They will be born in the millennium. They will live very long lives. They'll be perfect conditions. For many centuries, man has dreamed of a golden age, right? A utopia in which the human race will be free from war, sickness, and even death. Men have tried to achieve this goal on their own and have failed. But it only will be seen when Jesus Christ comes back and he rules and reigns on David's throne, that this kingdom will come and the earth will be delivered at that time from the oppression of Satan and of sin. And I praise God for that. But we go on and we see the revolt of Satan. This is something you're thinking, wow, how does this happen? Look, it says, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations. So there's the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. You say, oh, why is Satan loosed? Why is this even happening? Well, let me tell you why. Satan will be loosed for the very same reason he's allowed to tempt us now, to show us what is in our heart, to show us our need of Christ, or else face destruction. You see, these people during the millennium will be no different from any other people of any generation. They will have a free will. They will still need to turn to Christ for salvation. And as in all other generations, most will reject Christ. Isn't this crazy? Well, what happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You say that's crazy. No, it happened. They hated him. They wanted to kill him during that time. So you say Satan's going to be loose because now we have people who rejected Christ and now they have to make a decision. And isn't it sad that most will choose to follow Satan against Christ? And so we could say, why is Satan loosed? Well, God will release Satan in order to vindicate justice, the justice of God. That is, in order to show that people deserve to be judged and condemned because of their sin. So God's final and eternal judgment will be totally vindicated. People will stand speechless before the righteous judgment of God. Satan will be loose. Satan will deceive the nations. And as we mentioned, when Christ returns, there will be nations that are in existence on the earth. There will be survivors. I know when you look at the tribulation, how can anyone? Well, there'll be survivors. There'll be few in comparison to the population before the trumpet and bowl judgments and before Armageddon. Nevertheless, some will survive. It will be the people of these nations and future generations born during the millennium that Christ will rule with a rod of iron. It will be these over whom he will execute justice. And so not everyone born in the millennium will be saved. As I mentioned, let's not forget that the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth a couple 1,000 years ago, yet people rejected him. They denied that he was even God's son. Think about the evidence, all the miracles. Even a 1,000 years, a millennial reign, that's a long time. And what do people do just like they do now? Routine. There'll be routine life again in the millennium. Isn't that crazy? To many people at that time, Jesus will only be a ruler, not a savior. They are numbered as the sand of the sea. They are called by Gog and Magog. We do know in other parts of the scripture, in Ezekiel 38:39, it does speak of Gog and Magog and Rosh and part of Russia, that type of that part. Gog being ruler. But they are symbolic names of the nations that come from the four quarters of the earth, from all directions. They will march against Jerusalem, verse 9. Look at that. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And aren't you thankful? Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So the nations will march against the throne of Christ to take over the world for themselves. The nations will misinterpret who Christ is, the sovereign majesty of the universe. They will let the fact that he has come to earth throw them into thinking he's only a mere man, as they are. There will not even be a battle. Aren't you thankful? God's going to devour them by fire. Deceived by Satan, they will pay the ultimate price. They will become nothing but ashes. Ashes. Fire consumes them. And we see the doom. I'm thankful for these. This last part of our, there I go again. Long preaching freezes up the computer, amen. We see the revolt of Satan. I already went through that. Let me go back here. There's a doom. What is the doom in verse 10? I don't want to end the story here. It says, "In the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." He's confined to the lake of fire forever and ever. Amen? Think about, he thinks, okay, I got freedom now. He goes about to deceive the nations. And he was released from the bottomless pit. And that was for the 1,000 years. But his final prison will be the lake of fire and brimstone. It's worse. You see, it's even worse than where he had been for 1,000 years. The bottomless pit doesn't sound like a pleasant place to be, but the lake of fire and brimstone is worse. Brimstone means sulfur. It's going to be a place of fire, but not only that, it is going to stink. It is going to reek. So you see his confinement, you see his company in verse 10, where the beast and the false prophet are. So he will have company in the lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet had been there for over 1,000 years, Revelation 19:20. They were placed there before the millennium. This tells us that their bodies were not destroyed in the lake of fire, but they were simply made to experience the torment. This is what judgment is. It's going to be a fiery torment forever and ever. Now, the duration of his doom. He's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. There's going to be no let up. There's going to be no relief in his punishment. It's going to continue as long as God lives, and God lives eternally. Listen, the human mind, and we're just talking a little bit about this right now, introducing it, but we cannot even comprehend the horrors of the lake of fire because it's so bad. I like what we see here in the millennium, because the millennium kingdom will sum up all that God has said about the heart of man during various periods of history. It will be a reign of law, and yet the law will not change man's heart. Man will still revolt against God. The millennium will be a period of peace and perfect environment, a time when disobedience will be judged swiftly and with justice. We're going to be saying, amen. Yet in the end, the subjects of the king will follow Satan and rebel against the Lord. And this is the lesson. This is the lesson, teachers and educators and psychologists and psychiatrists. This is the lesson, sociology. This is the lesson. A perfect environment cannot produce a perfect heart. You need Jesus Christ. You need salvation of your soul. Amen. It's not the government that's going to save you. It's God that will save you. You must be born again. You must come through repentance and faith in Christ. I look at this and I'm just overwhelmed, because you would think when Jesus comes, why will they not love him? When he produces a perfect reign, restores the earth, why will they not openly want to serve him? But that just shows you the nature of man, the rebellion of sin. And so we see very clearly here today our need of Christ. Amen. Will you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye.